We're on our identity series. This is our second week. You can catch up online. We're going to be talking during this series about four biblical roles that we have given. These are roles that are who you are. As we talked about last week, is when we come to Jesus, when we come to this place of saying yes to God and receiving His forgiveness, we literally become a new creation. In Corinthians, it says, therefore, anyone in Christ, then the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And in this new creation, we're talking about this place where it uses terms of being born again, of actually coming into an adoption, to a place of being joined with Jesus. It's this place where we're no longer separated from our Creator. There's no way sin is in the way, and we have access to God fully. It's a pretty amazing thing. And so in this term, what we want to do is we want to understand what that means. And we're always talking about identity in our church because it's central, because we live out of who God has made us to be. And as a church, we've gone through and we said, you know, when Jesus talks about who we are in Christ, he gives lots of examples, lots of parallels, a lot of pictures. And so we came up with this chart that you've seen many times called our identity chart, or your true identity, and we've talked in last spring. You can look online if you want to listen to these. We talked about last year on primary standing, of what takes place in our standing before God when we come into Christ. And you know, we talked about in last summer, we talked about the attitude, and now we're going to be talking about this role. We love God and love others, all right? That's our goal. But how we do that is in the roles that God has given us, and we do that through these roles of the things that we do. Now, so when we think about a role answers the question, so what is it that you're designed for? How's God wired you? Right? See, when you can figure out what you're designed for and you live in that, you find freedom because it's who you are, right? When you live out in places you're not designed for, your life doesn't go well. The second question is this, what are your primary roles on this earth? Now, all of us have different roles, right? I mean, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm Debbie Schofler. I have different roles that switch around on me, right? We all different. You have different roles too, right? You may be an artist. You may be a CEO. You may be a manager. You may be, you know, a teacher. And you may be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife. You have all these different roles, right? And those are really important roles. But understand that those roles are not your primary roles in life. Those are your secondary roles. These are your primary roles. These are your eternal roles. This is what God has made you to be. And then all your other roles, they're important, but they're shaped by these roles and having those ahead of all your other roles, right? If you're a world leader, that's not your primary role. Your primary role is your position in Christ and in this particular roles that we're going to be talking about during this time. And so, you know, we want to help you understand this time of how is it that you operate as a priest? You know, how's that look? And so we're going to be talking today about that. How is it, you know, you are a priest? You can put a bumper sticker on your car, I am a royal priest, right? And you'll be biblically correct. You might not want to do that, but you could do that if you wanted to. And understanding that is this place of, you know, we want you to know through the series, like, what does it mean to be a priest? We want you to understand this is who you are and grasp that to a deeper level. You know, for me, you know, I got this thing of that I should be, you know, in our church, we have a phrase you guys have heard, right? Everybody gets to play, you know? And that doesn't mean you just get to goof off. You can do that too. But it's like you get to participate, what that means. It means that we don't believe that the Christians are in the stands cheering on the spiritual people who are doing the Christian work. You know, that's very good, David. Good job, you know, Kitty. That was a great job. You know, we believe everybody, when you come to Jesus, you come onto the field. You begin participating. You enter right into the playing of the purposes of God. And so for me, I'm not sure how it happened, but even as a young Christian, I quickly understood I'm supposed to be on the field. So I thought I'm supposed to love people and help people come to know Jesus. And so I was one of the ones that jumped on the field quick. But the problem was I didn't know what in the world my role was necessarily. I just knew I was supposed to. The goal was over here, and I kind of was trying to get there. You guys ever had, anybody raised kids and when they were real small and they did soccer? Anybody tried that? It's like, we used to laugh because I think it was Elise, I don't know if anybody was there, but we had our kids in soccer when they were real little, And it would be called the Dust Bowl. It'd be this round group of kids who would just dust bowl. We couldn't even tell what was going on. They would just go back and forth because they had no understanding of what they knew they should go that way. That's about all they knew, right? So I remember just laughing as we'd watch this cloud go back and forth. And then what would happen is then one of the kids would accidentally kick it the right way. And it would go through the room, and everybody would turn around and high-five him, and this kid would crunch back. And you know that kid was thinking, I have no idea how that happened, but this feels so good, right? I don't have a clue how this happened. It just kind of happened. That was me for probably 15 years of my Christian life. I was on the field just bumping around, trying to figure out how to get the ball moved down the field. And it was really just, I didn't know my role. I didn't understand this thing. And every once in a while, I'd have these moments in which that all of a sudden, I was operating my role, and I didn't know how it happened. It all worked. And I think, how'd that happen, right? That was a lot of my life. So as I thought about this, I was thinking about me. A story I think I've told before, but when I was about 18, a friend of mine, his name was Bill, he was older than I was, and he said, hey, it was around Christmas time. He says, I'm finished up the Christian shopping. You want to just hang out with me and go with me? I said, sure. So he has his old pickup. I get in his pickup, and we get his Christmas shopping done. He had very little to do. I'm not sure. I think it was just an excuse. So we got in this car, and we're driving around, and we're talking about God a little bit. And he pushes in this 8-track tape. That's kind of like an MP3, but with turning things. So you push this 8-track tape, and so he basically, this worship music came on, and Bill, who didn't sing well, didn't just start singing. He actually started worshiping. Now, I'm 18, trying to act cool, two guys in a truck, and I got Bill. And Bill just, I'm not talking about like little worship. I'm talking about Pentecostal kind of like, yeah, snapping the dash and raising his hands and shouting and almost wrecking and just cranking it out with his voice that was not right on key. And I'm thinking, this is very uncool. And I thought, okay, I can do two things. I can stare awkwardly. I can sing to make him feel like he's not alone. And I had a third option. I could join him in worship. And for some crazy reason, I decided I was going to join him in worship. And I just started cranking out it louder than him. So with these bad both voices, cranking it out. And I mean, we started singing louder and expressing ourselves. It was the craziest moment. I remember it was like as we were doing it, we didn't have terminology for that, but God's presence showed up. We felt him in the truck in such a strong way. We didn't want to stop. So we luckily 8-tracks just keep going. So we just kept going, right? And we worshiped and we drove around. And finally he says, David, I can't afford the gas. We got to go. Because we were like, it was past midnight now. We were still driving around in snow singing, right? We felt God's presence. We didn't want to stop, so we pulled into this Denny's. It's the only place open. And we go into Denny's, and we're still feeling God's presence, and we order a meal. We're sitting there, and as we're sitting there, we just kind of, it didn't go away, even when we went to Denny's. And so we were like there, and all of a sudden, my friend from high school walks in the door, who always harassed me about being a Christian. He's a little tipsy. He came from some Christmas party with this group of people. And he veered off from the Christmas party people. And he came up to me and he started talking, kind of harassing me. And we talked him into sitting down. And he sat down and we just started talking to him. And I'll tell you what, I was so sharp. I didn't even know I could be this good. I had stuff coming out of my mouth. We were talking to him. He was being moved. He was opening his life up. We could just feel this presence of God stronger, and all this thing was happening. I was interacting. He was just, we were just in those kind of conversations where you see nothing around you, right? And this went on for a long time, and I kept thinking, am I making this up? Is this strong? And I remember, and I've told you this story before, but we were living in, if you've been to Denny's, I hope you haven't been, but if you've been in Denny's, there's a four-seater booth by the window, and then there's the two-seaters right next to it, you know? And we looked around, and I turned around, and in the two-seater, there was a couple who was really nicely dressed, had come from some nice Christmas party, and older couple, and they had turned their seats, and they were sitting like this, listening to our conversation. And I thought, wow, I'm pretty good. This is amazing, right? I didn't know what was happening, right? It was so good, I just couldn't believe it. I just, really, all that happened was I realized who I was for a few minutes there. It wasn't anything to do with me. It's just, I was just understanding my role. God was helping me understand my role, right? So, this is crucial. I mean, So for your, as we go through this teaching, be asking this: do you see yourself as a priest who brings God's presence, truth, and power to others? Be thinking about that as we go through that. You know, when it talks about this whole thing of the priesthood, it's described really well by Peter. He's talking to the people in this letter and the Christians in this letter, and he's talking and he uses this example describing this ministry we have, and he's saying, and he gives this crazy picture of a spiritual house or a temple and a building with stones. And he says, now Jesus, there's a spiritual house being built, and Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the place that sets the lines, everything. It's the essence of the whole building. It's what everything's aligned to. It takes all the weight. It's the essence of everything. He's the cornerstone. He's the perfect stone. And we are all these stones that are laying around. And the cornerstone is drawing us to himself. And he says this, and you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. I mean, what a great picture. We have this place in which that we see him talking to us about who we are now. And he begins describing as we go through this is that we actually now, because you understand, he says, you are the temple now. Under this new covenant, he's contrasting the old covenant. You are now God's temple, right? Not only that, you are God's priest. You know, this old covenant is no longer there. This is the new covenant, and this is you are now the place in which God dwells, right? So as we look at these two analogies to imagine, so you can put this bumper sticker in your car: I am the temple of God, and I am a priest. All right. The role of the temple that they're talking about, as we think about that, is this place of where people, it's where God's Spirit dwelt. Understand? And the Holy of Holies, that's what it's referring to. That's where God's presence was. That's where his Spirit was. Where you go to learn who God is, where you go to connect and encounter God. And in the role of a Jewish priest, they were chosen by God and set apart with that role by God, given to them. And they offered sacrifices as worship to God. And it represents God and mediates between God and people, as a priest does. And they pray and they intercede for others, right? So what it's saying there is, guess what? Those things now come through out of you. You are the temple. You are the royal priesthood. The things that came, God dwells in you. God comes through you. You have the ministry of reconciliation, of connecting people to God, and it's through you. It's pretty wild. Now, I thought we'd stop right here and just give an example maybe of what it looks like and to catch on that you're a priest, all right? In today's, and so I asked Annie, I hope she's here, yeah. So come on up. Do not cry, Clyde. Stay calm. All right. And Annie is someone I actually kind of remember I was at a conference where it started, some things started, but I realized Annie has caught on to this new thing that God can come through here. So I thought I'd just ask her a couple questions about how this process, how she started understanding God really does come through me. I have this role of God mediating himself through me. And how did that process look like? So how did that start shifting over?
Well, I mean, as you know, I did grow up in the church, but I grew up in a Baptist church, and it was really kind of like your love for people was supposed to be something that God like generated, and then there was like God's love for people. But the idea that you could love somebody with the love of God, like that was a very real and present thing, was kind of not a linked thing, or at least it didn't seem like that was something that was described as the same thing. And so when I moved here and started coming to the Vineyard, I went to a Vineyard conference, and they were very much like, hey, just anyone who wants to come up, we're going to kind of do a really quick overview on our Vineyard prayer model, and you can, like, you know, ask to lay your hand on somebody and ask to pray for them, and then, you know, ask for God's Spirit to lead you. And it was really incredible. Like, it was so much fun to be able to do that. And I remember that was, like, the first time that I both received that kind of prayer and, like, was a part of praying for somebody in that way. So that was really cool.
Good. So give me a story of time maybe that you had that happen through you that you can remember.
So I was thinking about this and, like, a good story for me to illustrate kind of what I'm talking about in this, like, you know, the difference between me loving somebody, because I'm, like, learning to be a kind and caring person, and, like, and God loves you. But to be able to say to somebody, God loves you, because in that moment you feel an overwhelming sense of God's love for them through you, that you feel for them as well. I think one of the best stories for me is my neighbor across the backyards I've kind of started developing a relationship with, and one of their dogs died, and I don't care about pets at all. and the dog was like, they'd spent like a bunch of money to have a cancer removed and a surgery, and I'm like, not in a million years would I do that. I mean, I just don't, like, so the parts of me that are me that would not like feel a whole lot of compassion for that. I was really heartbroken with her. Like, I met with her because we just talk at, like, the backyard fence, and it's really cool because for some reason there's a gate. I don't know why, but we love it. So, like, we go to the gate and we're talking, and I'm like, can I pray for you? And we were both just crying because our dog died, and she loved this dog, and I could feel God's love and compassion for her in this spot of loving and missing her poor dog. And I normally would not care about a dog. So it was a really, like, I could feel in that moment, I guess, the sense of freedom that brings to be in that priest role, rather than trying to go, I'm going to try and love you. By the way, also God loves you, like, sort of separately, mm-hmm. and explain that. But in the way that comes through you.
That's cool. Thanks. Good job. So there's so many things that are so amazing about this role that we've been given. And one thing is that one thing a priest does is he comes before God, right? This is what he does. He offers, in that time, in Jewish priesthood, they offer sacrifice. When we come before God, we offer what? What is our living, our sacrifice, our right sacrifice? Is ourselves. We're a living sacrifice. When God says, I'm not looking for burnt offerings anymore, I'm looking for a humble and contrite heart. I'm looking for the sacrifices of praise and trust, right? So we get to do that. We as a priest get to boldly come into God's presence without any fear and without any shame. You know, if you look in the Acts and all the writings of the New Testament, we see this boldness all the time. And they had this boldness, Here's why they had boldness, because they boldly could come before God. The reason they had the boldness to love people is because they had the boldness to come before God. They knew that they could come towards God and be exactly who they were without shame or without fear because of what Christ had done. And so as we look at this, is that, you know, in Corinthians, Paul says it this way, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, in the context, he's basically talking about comparing our ministry as new covenant priest with the ministry of Moses. And the ministry of Moses, it was a glorious ministry. He would go before God, and the presence and power of God would come upon him. He would glow in his countenance to the point that he had a veil that he put over his face because the Israelite says, I have sin, I can't look upon this. And so he had this veil he held on his face. Now you see, so what he's basically saying is, you have to understand, the ministry we have been given through Christ is much greater. This is crazy. is much greater than the ministry of Moses. And it describes it, and we all, with unveiled faces, right, can come and not hide from God's presence, but contemplate it and allow it to change us. We can come before God and allow him to be present with us fully, and he transforms us. That's amazing stuff. You understand that before, in the Old Testament, the priests would, they would have to come, and only the priest could go to the Holy of Holies, the high priest, once a year. And he made sure everything was in order. He had all the right sacrifices for all the sins before he dared step into the behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. But what we see in Scripture is when Jesus died on the cross, he basically cried out, and the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies was opened. And this is what it's talking about. We are under a different covenant. We have no veil holding us back from the glory of God. We get to contemplate God's glory, right? And so as we look at that, you know, we can go to God without fear, without shame, and open our whole selves up to him, and we'd have no condemnation, because of what we've done, because of God's mercy, but what he's done. The second thing about this priesthood is we're competent and effective ministers. Because why? Because God's Spirit's in us. You know, I have found that, and I talk to Christians, many Christians feel incompetent to do what God's asked them. I hear this all the time. I just can't do it. I must not have the genetic code. I can't do these things. But what is true is you are competent. And if you don't think you're competent, you just understand the competence is different than what you think. I was competent at Denny's at 18, and I'm competent now. It's no different. And it's not because of anything I did. It's only what Christ has done. I think the verse that describes this the best, I love this. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about his ministry and the effect of it. And he's basically saying, my letter of recommendation is you. Because I watch your life, and you're like a written letter of recommendation for the ministry from me, you know. And here's how he puts it: you show that you are letters from Christ as a result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant. This is so encouraging. And basically he's saying this. He goes, this ministry I have, here's what happens as your priestly ministry. You, because God is within you, because what Christ has done, and because you have the Holy Spirit within you, you go up and interact with people, and God comes in and literally writes things on their hearts, changes them at the deepest level. And Paul says, this is what happens in my ministry, and this is what happens in the ministry of the new covenant. And you have to understand, and it wasn't out of anything I did. It's out of what Christ did. Understanding that you are competent, that you can show up, and if you're a brand new believer, if you just said yes to Jesus, you're on the field and you're competent for the things that God is going to ask you to do, and he'll come through you. Now, the other thing I think is so cool about this priesthood, it's all the time. It's who you are all the time, 24/7. I mean, you know, for me, that's so encouraging because, you know, I think the reason I picked the Denny story, you know, because I look back on it, it's like, okay, what I did was priestly. I didn't know it at the time. I opened myself up and came fully towards God and brought my whole self to him. And I gave him the sacrifice of praise. I came to him. I opened my whole life to him. And I did it in a truck with an 8-track. I'm saying it can happen anywhere, right? It's 24/7. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if it's snowing outside, if you're in a truck, if you have an 8-track or not have an 8-track or whatever. You can come before God and you can minister to him because of what Christ has done. And you can come and you can bring him a sacrifice of praise. You can bring him your life, right? And so, but then you can drop into any place or be at any place you're at, no matter where you're at, and you can minister, even Denny's, which is shocking. So he'll show up. He'll show up wherever you're at. And so as we think about that, you know, for me, you know, on Sundays, I love it. We have we have lots of priestly ministry going on, right? And we have the, if we see what's happening at prayer ministry, as I'm watching people interact with other, what we're seeing is the royal, the priesthood working together and God moving through us, right? And I love that stuff. I love hearing that in our groups, our time here, our gatherings, our small groups. I love that. But I really love is when it goes beyond Sunday. I love it when it's outside the walls of this church, you know? And so I just took a few things and it quickly came to mind, true stories of how I've heard of priestly stories of God coming through you to others. And I thought of all the different locations. And I thought, I've heard about this spot of where I've heard stories of in the grocery store, Walmart, late at night, early in the morning, restaurants, drive-thrus, business trips, on planes, on vacation, in the parking lot, in a bar, in a garbage dump, in a backyard, at CAC, tutoring the kids, connecting to a refugee, visiting someone in jail, nursing homes, putting your kids to bed, over the phone, at a wedding, at a funeral, driving somewhere. I mean, just go on and on, right? You name it, it's 24/7. God can come into that situation and reveal who he is through you. And you're competent to do this. It's your role. It's what you're designed for. And it's not based on you. It's based on him. And so, anywhere, at any time, you know. The other thing is how we minister. We minister in numbers of ways. We minister through our words, you know. Sometimes, like right now, as I'm talking, I believe God's doing more than me talking. I believe God is stirring certain things within you and God's communicating. As your heart sits off, he'll begin talking to you just through me talking. Imagine that. Because that's what happens, right? And so you've had that time where you've heard a teaching and how it's affected you, right? That's ministry. You can have this place of, as far as this place of words. If you've heard people share, this is what God means to me, and all of a sudden it just does something for you. You know that feeling? That's ministry. The ministry of just saying, you're telling your story. This place of, many of us have had times where someone comes and speaks a prophetic word. It's just what they sense God is saying, and literally it can completely transform your life. Sometimes it's in a place in which it's just a word of encouragement or just a kind word. Or sometimes it just comes in a regular conversation as you're just interacting with another person. You know, when Peter talks about it, he says, speak as if speaking the very words of God. But then it also can come in your actions, you know, this place of just caring. Have you ever had this kind of spot where somebody cares about you and does something, steps out, and it literally feels like God just came and did that for you? You feel God's love. You feel God's truth. You feel God, how he sees you because of the action of another person. Pay close attention. When you start thinking about somebody in your mind and you keep thinking, that'd be cool to do that, that's usually not just you. You usually don't come up with those kind of things. God usually has something, and it may seem really small and simple, but if you step out on that and you say, God, I want them to experience you in this, right? God will come through by that action. And this place also, it can really be in a spot you don't even say anything. Do you know you can minister by just being present with somebody? Some of my most powerful ministry is people who are present with me. One time I remember I was in a really rough spot, and two guys, all they did was stay with me, put their hands on my shoulder. They didn't say a word, and it was one of the most powerful ministry times I could have had, and it couldn't have happened without them. Do you understand? I needed the priesthood of believers, right? And so understanding, you know, this whole thing of our actions, this whole thing of presence, it can be, just having people who come into it. With you guys ever had that happen? You can feel, even what Annie was talking about, part of her ministry was multiple, right? She just came into it with her because God gave her a heart, to understand heart. She also gave words to say, and she also prayed, which we're going to talk about. So it can come lots of different ways, right? And we used to, when I was in my 20s, I used to work at a furniture store. And there's this guy named Dick Lane. He was the Serta rep. It's a furniture store with, and we sold mattresses, and he came in like once a month from Kansas City. And when he came in, it was the strangest deal. He had one of the deepest loves for God I've ever seen, and he was never religious, just a loving guy. whenever he walked into the place, you could feel the difference in the place just because of his presence. And if we're just alert, we can just change people's lives by just being present with God and present with them. Recently, as you know, Debbie's been through lots of crazy operations and stuff, and so she's been tired of being home. And I just want to give a shout out to Annie Schulte. Anna Schulte, is she here today? All right, there you go. Anna is pushy. I don't know if you knew that or not. So Debbie's like, maybe we can come over. No, I'm coming over, you know. And so Debbie, I've had times where Debbie's like, she's going down, and Anna shows up. And all she does is just be Anna. And I feel the whole house change, right? Because she felt, I need to come over. And she did. Pretty cool. And then this whole thing about prayer, we know that one pretty well, right? We have a priestly prayer in our church, and what is it? It has seven words to it. Can I pray for you right now? If you want to learn that you're a priest, just say those seven words, and then you'll be stuck, right? Oh, my gosh. You say it, and most of the time they're going to say, yeah. And you go, oh, boy, now I have to have something beyond myself, and God will come through because that's who you are, right? And I love it. I love this place of praying. I love it to see how God does that. And we want to keep that going in our church, just praying for people all the time. That's just what we do, right? But we also understand you can actually intercede and pray even when someone's not around you, right? We have a prayer group on Sunday night that's affecting this church, and nobody even knows they're around, but they're praying for particular things in our church, interceding for that. We've interceded for the Congo and had dramatic changes from clear across the world. We've affected the church plant in Japan with Bethany tremendously. She can tell you, it's just things have changed. Kirk has been in ICU, and I was talking to Josie this week, and she says, man, when that prayer, that thing we talked about earlier, that prayer email went out, she said, instantly, something happened, and I changed in my attitude. It just transformed me, and God started working, right? We can do amazing things, and here's what's kind of cool is, you can do it from your recliner. I mean, what a deal. You can minister from your recliner. You can wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll do a little ministry here before I get up. And you listen to God of who he puts on your heart, and you ask him, and you come before him, and you say, God, help that person. Come in this situation. Do this thing. And God changes people's lives. It's 24/7, even when people aren't even there, right? We can affect people. Now, last month, I had two different times. Well, I guess within the last 2 or 3 months, I had two different times that I was in the pits. I know it's hard to believe I'm such an amazing guy and I'm in the pits, but I was down. I was just tired of everything. I was grumpy. I felt. You guys heard that when you feel like a cloud's over you, you cannot get out of it. I mean, I prayed. I tried to get quiet before God. I did pray, and I couldn't get out. And so I stayed there for 3 hours, which wasn't very smart. I finally just texted a bunch of guys and said, "Pray for me right now." Within an hour, it's gone. Next time, I did it in a half hour. I said, "Oh, I'm not messing this." Instantly took away. Right. I mean, it has power, right? We can intercede. We are the priesthood of believers, and we can minister to one another, and we can minister to anybody in our place, whether it be your kids, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be your coworker, anything. You know, if you're, and it's 24/7. If your kid's screaming in the middle of the night with a nightmare, walk into his room as a priest and bring God into that situation. When you're putting to bed, invite God into that time with your kid. So, the worship team can come up. Here's just some things. This week, boldly, just make it a point to take time and boldly come into God's presence. And just open yourself up wide to him of exactly where you are, hiding nothing into his light, and just welcome his presence. And then worship him. Bring him, you can minister, isn't it crazy? We can minister directly to God by just showing up and being ourselves and trusting him. That's what our sacrifice is as a priest, is bringing ourselves to him and saying thank you. And then through this week, look for opportunities to be a priest, to minister to others with your words and with your actions, with your presence and with your prayers. Just take a little bit of time and say, God, who's in front of me, that is my field, that's my ministry. And I want you to show me how I can bring God into these people's lives.